Hey everyone, it's Nemesis, and welcome to a Comic Crusader creator special. We are here today. I am joined by Sam Johnson, who is the creator of Geek Girl. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very good. And I'm also joined by my fellow Crusader, the legend, the infamous legend. Johnny Machine Hughes. How are you doing, Johnny?
Hey, I'm great to be here, Sam. Always a pleasure to speak to a fan of the Crusaders. We've loved your book for quite some time now, so, you
know. Yes, yes. It's David is the third person I've worked my way through in the review and interview process at Comic.
I'm trying to get them all to read it. I'm trying to get them all to read it, you know. So keep going right. That way.
Sounds hey, good.
I have to say, this is one of the perks of being with Comic Crusaders is that, you know, it's nice to be able to read the big two and then to read stuff like Valiant and everything. But the real joy I get is being able to read independent creators, independent comic books, and find new things. And I have to say, Geek Girl, you know, right before we get started, Geek Girl is one of those books. It's one of those things where I didn't know what to expect. Johnny and Sam had turned me on to it. I read it. I've done a couple reviews of books, and I enjoyed it very much. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about you've got a project coming up, but let's get a little bit into Geek Girl first. And I guess the first question I have to ask, when I first read Geek Girl and realized it was set in Maine, I think the person who wrote Geek Girl must be somebody who's from Maine, because, you know, it's like, okay, or somebody who has family in Maine, but and somebody who is an American, because I was like, you know, Maine is, it's not, you know, on the radar for most Americans. It's up there. It's a beautiful place. I've been there, but it is not what you immediately think. So I have to ask, knowing that you're from the UK, what brought you to Maine to set Geek Girl there?
So from my reaction, you may have gauged that this isn't the first time this has come up. So basically, I was looking for somewhere where to facilitate what happens with Ruby, basically, like, I didn't want like a Manhattan where there's going to be like superheroes, you know, you can't move without bumping into a superhero. And I didn't want, you know, a little, you know, small villagey type place where it would be implausible for them to be. So I wanted a, you know, a sort of middle area where it's like superheroes exist, but it's a big deal still. So when a new one comes on the scene, that's a big deal. And also because of the there not being a wealth of superheroes in where this is set in Acorn Ridge in Maine, Acorn Ridge being a fictional place within Maine. It's what happens at the beginning of the original Geek Girl miniseries. Well, just to tell people what we're talking about Geek Girl. So Ruby Kay is Geek Girl. She landed a pair of super tech glasses. Initially, not used to the super strength they give her, as well as flight powers. She was super klutzy, trying to demonstrate them, knocking drinks over her cool kid friends and alienating them. But her best friend, her BFF Summer, was into the whole superhero thing, stuck by her, kind of pushed her into it a bit, jokingly gave her the name Geek Girl, following her klutzy actions. So basically, the beginning of the miniseries is the big first lady of superheroism, Neon Girl, that lives in Maine, gets taken down by a new big bad. And then Pitbull, who's the big super jock hero of Maine, also gets taken down. So Ruby is basically, she's got these glasses on a drunken whim, duping the inventor who initially intended them for himself to lose them to her in a game of drunken strip poker. Something that she's having now grown a bit, she's not massively proud of. Basically, Maine is it's the kind of level of the location we're talking about in terms of how big it is or how small it is that it works. You know, I wanted somewhere that kind of level in order for Ruby's arc growing into a superhero to work the way I want it to, which it would work differently in a city with no heroes or a Manhattan that's, you know, there goes Spider-Man again.
So. Fair shout when you think about, you know, I don't think there's any superheroes in Maine in any comic book universe other than yours.
I think cornered the market. We have
cornered the market of Maine. Oh, bless. Putting Maine on the comic book universe map. Well done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have to say, Maine looks like a kicking place, you know, judging by the Geek Girl comic book. It's like I've visited a couple times, but have you ever been to Maine? It's like,
no, I've never been to America, so I've researched it. I mean, in the climactic battle of the first arc, we have like Portland City Hall. There's various landmarks come into it, but it's, you know, Maine. Let's not get too hung up on the whole Maine thing, because
that's not the main point of the story.
It's not. That's very good, Johnny.
God, killing me.
Because, as I did mention, it is Acorn Ridge is a fictional place within Maine. Yeah. So I think what you're talking about in the current arc, the Titan Capes arc, there's this very outlandish club night that they go to, and that is in with Acorn Ridge. That doesn't exist in the real life before anyone starts buying tickets to Maine in order to go to this club.
So you shouldn't have said that. The Maine tourist board have just been on the phone. They said, "Hey, man, thanks for the advert. You know, now you've got to go there and open the club."
Well, maybe someone will take it on board and do it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We need to keep the, you know, this isn't really Maine on the down low, so you can get the Maine tourism board to bring you over.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about actually, because of sort of local interest factor, when you do the Kickstarter, you put your location in, and I was thinking about putting it in Maine to see if that bought any Mainites then, which I presume I've just made that expression up, but I might use that. I don't know if you can actually technically do that, given that I'm in England, it might be problematic.
Oh, man, the wordplay has just fallen off, you know. So if you've got fans of Geek Girls from issue one to now, you can call them Mainstays. I'll give you that one. I'm not going to copyright that one. You can have that one, all right?
I mean, what's going on at the moment with Geek Girl being part of a super team? They haven't actually got an official name yet.
I've done it.
Who knows, Johnny? Who knows?
God.
Nice.
I've written something in a comic book. Yes. Good.
So, you mentioned a little bit about the scene, the main club scene there. You know, one of the first comics that I read, a Geek Girl, and then I went backwards and read some more. You had her come into what to me looked like a drag club, you know, and it was really interesting to me. I have never seen that in comics before. How did you come up with that idea? Because I thought it was just so unique to have them on that girls' night out there.
Yeah, I mean, the club we're talking about has appeared before, and they have different nights. So this night is called Freaky Kiki's. So this is an occasional night, which is very outlandish. Everyone goes in fancy dress. The theme of the night on this particular occasion, it's based on Seinfeld's alternative Christmas Festivus. So you've got the feats of strength and the aluminum pole and the airing of grievances, which becomes quite a thing when Ruby and her ex or sometime friends, the Mean Girls, get involved in that. But inspiration, Doom Patrol, Grant Morrison's run's a big inspiration. So I don't know how conscious it was, but there's a Danny the Street influence there in the compere, who's Madam Forsyth, who references Brucey, who Johnny's probably more familiar with.
Yeah, Brucey Bonus. Now there, nice to see you. Nice to see you.
I like Alex Zane's piss take mangling about it. Nice to see you. Yes, it is. Well, to see you nice is the correct one, David. So yeah, she references all Brucey catchphrases and does his pose and has fun. Yeah, there's a Down in the Street. It's a camp she's a camp host. There's a Down in the Street influence there. There's as I said, Doom Patrol, Grant Morrison's run, a lot of which came out in the TV series that has been great. It's always an influence, and not like that is obviously it's not like she's not a street, so it's not a direct thing, but it's like I've found after once this became a thing with me, the Doom Patrol influence, I've found I can sort of think in weird mode, and I came up with who also comes into this arc, Cabra Chini, Voodoo Junkie, Hit Woman, and the scene in it's issue 7 where she comes into it. Where she's in a supermarket smoking a cigarette, abusing the staff, basically chewing the scenery. That was written basically, I was just like thinking in sort of weird mode coming up with this character and just wrote that scene pretty much stream of consciousness, and then it's been sort of crafted into the scene we have now. So there's always that. But one of the things that I like about Geek Girl and that applies to Doom Patrol is I think it works because it's not all weird. Like, there is a grounding thing. At the heart of Doom Patrol, you've got Ruby and Summer's friendship. At the heart of Geek Girl, rather, sorry. And at Doom Patrol, though Cliff Steele is, you know, in this robot body, he's well, as Brendan Fraser has now made, fuck, his basically reaction to pretty much everything. He's kind of grounded within the weirdness, and I think you need that. I think it's all weird, and I think the less great issues of Doom Patrol have been when it is, you know, just weird. I love the weird, but I think it's the combination of that with the characters that you know that ground it that make it work.
I'm echoing or something, but
there you go. You're better.
I think it's interesting you say that because then I can see how you can kind of play off the weird versus the very normal of Maine, you know, and how that works. That's really kind of cool writing, I gotta say, and I very much appreciate it because I read this and it reminds me of the clubs out here in California. You know. So sometimes when Mrs. Nemesis and I get some time off, we go and take in a show at a club in Hollywood or in Ontario or something. And so it definitely had that vibe, you know, that fun, crazy feel to it. But then, you know, and everything else. So that was really cool. It was fun.
It's interesting how you bring Grant Morrison into the conversation, because I think Grant's one of those guys who is super, super talented, massively so, but sometimes can take a flight of fancy too far.
For
some fans, you know, so you kind of, you know, it's interesting how you kind of bring up that contrast and that level of control in trying to keep the characters grounded and not just kind of go off on a trip, like a psychedelic trip, in order to like maintain that storytelling. Because I think, if anything, that's the thing that probably turns a lot of fans. Well, I'm sure there's lots of people that love the trippiness of Grant Morrison's work, but there's also a lot of fans who kind of think, I'd just stick to the straightforward superheroes. I mean, I really enjoyed his run on X-Men. I thought that was really good, and that's hardly trippy at all. You know, but then you read something like Doom Patrol, it's completely, completely different. So, you know.
I mean, I do absolutely love Doom Patrol, but as I say, I think if you removed like Cliff Steele from it, it might be too much.
Yeah, you definitely need that grounding element. And you're absolutely right. The thing I love about Geek Girl is the action's great, of course it is, and you know, but it is that relationship between the two girls that kind of make the book. I might have said this before. When I read a Spider-Man book, I know as soon as Peter Parker pulls on the mask, he's going to kick ass. It's all the stuff Peter Parker has to put up with that makes the book interesting.
Just while we're on Spider-Man, because I don't know about you two, but I'll just mention, I'm really into what's going on with that at the moment, with all the Kindred and all that. I don't know if I... Oh, you're not then.
Well, really.
Yeah,
I'm so open-minded. I'm keeping an open mind. Do you know what? I think I expected, because it's Nick Spencer on Spider-Man and what he did with Captain America in the Hail Hydra line, I think I expected more than I think for me, the Peter Parker and Mary Jane relationship, whilst they've been together in the new run, it hasn't felt genuine somewhere along the line. And I think that kind of coloured my perception a little bit. So when that relationship gets back on track, that's probably where my interest in Spider-Man will come back.
But I think it may be deliberate that it hadn't felt genuine because, I mean, you know, he's pulling the one more day thread, and which is what the arc is really about. Mm-hmm. Seemingly this is going to undo it one way or another. I'm well into it.
Well, the thing I liked, we'll talk about one more day. I know we've digressed a little bit, but no. I really liked who I'm liking at the moment who writes Black Cat.
Hmm.
I think he writes Spider-Man particularly well.
Okay, I'm ready.
So if you read Black Cat, there's really read some good bits, and there's a bit. I'm just checking my Twitter feed because I've forgotten his name. It's Jed. It's Jed someone. Jed. He's going to kill me for getting this wrong. But there's a bit where it's Jed McKay. There you go. There's a bit where Black Cat's annoyed that she doesn't know who Spider-Man is anymore. And Peter Parker trusts her and takes the mask off. That's good Spider-Man writing.
Right, okay.
But you know, that's for me. But the Spider-Man book is definitely one of Marvel's better books at the minute. It's going on. I'm not a big fan of, you know, the point ones and point twos that come in the issues. I think just make it full issues, please. But you know,
yeah, I mean,
Marvel publishing.
Because I am really into the story, I am getting those, but I don't think so far they've been pretty flimsy. You could almost have had. Yeah. A compressed version as a backup in the main story.
Agreed. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Cool. We agree on that one then, Joe.
Yeah, we agree. We agree on that one. Cool.
Oh, yeah, you've not read any of this, David.
Oh, I've been devoting most of my Marvel reading right now to the Alex Ross Marvels stuff and then the X books. You know, so I'm really
I'm into the X books at the moment as well. But let's not get into a whole tangent on them as well.
the only thing I throw in on Spider-Man, I've read a lot of Spider-Man in the past. I haven't read a lot of the more recent stuff, but I'm one of those oddities that still miss Gwen Stacy, so I'll just throw that out there. You know, you can all judge me for that. So
well, if it helps, in the latest issues, villain Kindred has dug up her corpse and stuck her at a dinner table for Peter to meet. So, you know, there's that. Oh,
wow. Okay.
You and 13 need to get together. You need to form a support group.
Oh, yeah.
We miss Gwen Stacy Club or hashtag we hate the George Washington Bridge.
We devoted an entire hour-long podcast once talking about Mexican Spider-Man and their love for Gwen Stacy. So, you know, that's a whole other thing. But real quick before, because I do want to get to talking about the new project, what Geek Girl has going forward, I had one other thing I wanted to ask, which is you're talking about the fun, you're talking about the reality versus the weird. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, the last thing that I really wanted to cover before we get to where Geek Girl is going, is some of your villains have definitely got that weird going on, and it's fun. And to me, they look so much like Dick Tracy villains. And I think I put this in my review, and I was like, was that intentional? How did you come up with those concepts? Did you work with your artist on that? I mean, I think it was just a really cool little twist to the Geek Girl world.
So, I mean, presumably you're talking about the ones in the current arc, sure. Are you? Yeah. So what's going on there is Johnny Carlisle is this entrepreneur who's put Geek Girls would-be super team together. He's also got this right-hand man, Digger Mensch. And Digger Mensch, Johnny may or may not have been operating on dubious sides of the law previously. Digger Mensch definitely does. Now, this wasn't a problem for his crew before, but now that Johnny has turned over a new leaf and is setting up a super team, possibly because Neon Girl got what he was doing and was like, I'm going to shut you down if you don't. He was basically selling super tech weaponry indiscriminately, allegedly. I don't know why I always say it like I'm going to get sued or something. He's not real. Anyway, so yeah, so Digimenta's crew, there's a conflict there now because they used to, you know, Johnny was a bit shady. They used to get the super tech weaponry on the down low. And now Johnny is setting up this super team. So it presents a conflict of interest for them. And who we're talking about here is Scar, who wears the sort of traditional Scar outfit as an SKA. Digimench, who has the super building powers and a drill arm and a removable drill arm and a removable dig arm. Black Mass, who can like puff himself up into a black mass. And Papa Potato, who can Wolverine star make French fries come out of his fists. I don't know how good a fight that is, but it does help diffuse the crew when they get irate. He just pops some French fries. Calm down, guys. Have some French fries.
My question would be, where does he get the mayonnaise from?
Well, it does. What I've got planned for it, it does get gross. Not, we're not going to graphically depict it, but I've got ideas of what other things he can do potato-based and where those come from.
that leads up like just a little bit of a quick question. How do you kind of cater then? Because you and I, we call them crisps, right?
Yes.
American calls them chips. So yes. How do you cater for the kind of language barrier, which is minuscule, admittedly? Well, but when you say French fries, was you and I both know we mean chips, not crisps.
Well. I'm in French fries, Johnny. If I go to McDonald's, I'm not getting chips. I'm getting French fries.
We'll go to the Mackie D's.
It's not a problem.
Fair enough. I'm an old school guy. I like my steak cut chips, man. None of those skinny chips. No.
That is nothing
against point. Chips, but French fries are also available.
Yeah, diversity in the potato brands.
It is really an interesting point to bring up there, though, because I'm writing something for someone that takes place in the UK right now, and I have to think about, you know, it's like I was talking about a truck, and then I had to change truck everywhere to lorry. You know, it's like, you know, it's just different terminology. So,
yeah, I guess we use the term truck as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would think, Johnny, I would think truck is like smaller than a lorry.
Big. So you've got now you've got truck, you've got lorry, and you've got wagon.
Right.
Then you've got tanker, dude.
And then here in the United States, they call it just a truck. You know?
Yeah. Hey, we get shows like what you call him, Fast and Loud, where he's always doing stuff with trucks. It's all right. We know what a truck is.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we do.
Cool.
You've got to give Nemesis his due. He actually likes football, like English football.
Okay. So
there you go. Yeah, he's a Newcastle United fan.
Oh, right. Is that a irresponsible for that?
No, it's just a happy coincidence. Happy coincidence.
I've been a Newcastle fan since, who brought me into it? Darren Esprit was one of my favorite players, and he played for Newcastle back in the 90s. And then I got into Alan Shearer, and then Johnny always makes fun of me because I like Batty, you know.
David Batty. How way.
I was a huge Newcastle fan way back then. My brother was a Manchester United fan, so we it was interesting in our house. So going back and forth. So
well I'm just
podcast.
Sorry, Sam, what was yours?
I'm just gonna smile and nod on this because I know nothing about football.
All right, okay. Back to the comic then.
Yeah. So, going forward, then, I know you've got some big plans for Geek Girl going forward. I know you've got a new project going forward. What can you share with us? We're recording this ahead of the release of something, but go ahead and blast us out with all the good Geek Girl news.
So, if this is going out when the new Kickstarter is live, then. What we're doing for this new Kickstarter is a deluxe version of I have the original issue 5, which is the jump on issue with the beautiful cover by the beautiful Sun Kamenaki. The Jump on Issue, this is where it starts off with the whole super team thing. This is where the super team starts to come together.
Sam, just show us that book again. I'll make it large so that... So, oh, no, I can't do that. Sorry. Hold on. We'll get there. There you go. Just can't do it. No, there you go. Excellent. Okay, that's good. Excellent. Good shout. Well done. Thank you.
So there's a lot going on with this. I don't know how well this will come across on the camera, but it's been like remastered. So the picture quality, the print quality, I say it may not translate particularly well here, but
that's great. Yeah. Well done.
And like bits of it have been recolored. It's just been polished, but as well as that, it's so that was 24 pages. There's an extra another load of pages added to it. There's a new story called Gold Town, which ties into the Geek Girl series. There's a character called Delphi Matrix in it that appeared back in the original mini series, and also introduces a new character, Pete the Pimp, who will be coming into the main Geek Girl series. We've also got previews of forthcoming Geek Girl issues in it, and we've also got a preview of Guano Guy's next issue. Guano Guy is a guest star in the issue 5. He's a character created by Mark Darden, who I got involved with through the last Kickstarter, and he's a would-be member of the Geek Girl super team, but that doesn't really pan out. But there's a preview of his next book coming as well. And also, there's going to be a limited print of Teen Geek Girl, and this, as I say, they're coming together in this issue. This will be the first appearance of them as a team. And Robert Nix, the artist, is great. He's working up well. We're in the future when you're watching this, but in the past as we're speaking now. He's currently working on it, but that should be up at the Kickstarter site. I mean, the Kickstarter site is going to, again, speaking from the past, you're in the future, viewer. Geekgirlcomics.com in the future, as in now in the present when you're watching it, will link directly to the Kickstarter. So you don't need to search for it, all you need is geekgirlcomics.com. Cool. And also, as well as all that, so as I say, the main thing of it is the coming together of this super team, and there's all kind of weird and wonderful subplots introduced. There's a guy that's messing around with the occult, that's kind of like the opening to it, and just while he is, someone comes in and shoots him. But then he can, using these occulty powers he's got, he can get the bullets out. So that's obviously going to go somewhere. There's this thing where the plane gets attacked, which again, we've kind of remastered the colouring on. So actually, that's not in this version I'm looking at. So we'll save that for the Kickstarter. But the original thing was the plane gets attacked when it's flying some of these superheroes to their HQ. And the character that's doing the attacking is also going to be playing a significant role. And both of the characters I've just referred to, we haven't named them yet. We don't know quite what's going on with them.
Can you show us the picture again? I got you.
So there's plenty going on, and there's this fun stuff with Guano Guy and his pal, Mr. Marvelous Man, who's also... created by Mark Darden. That's this painting. And this is how it actually came about with Mark. Is in a previous Kickstarter, you could be drawn into this plane scene where it all kicked off. You and your partner, and Mark chose to have two of his characters come in, and I sort of got into that and made them part of the story and potential member of the team. But as I said, Guano Guy is not the most... giving of people, and for a superhero, is not very keen on fighting, which is a bit of a problem. So it's possibly not the gig for him. But so there's a limited print as well of the actual first appearance of Teen Geek Girl, as they're known, or possibly
the mainstays.
when they get their official name, as Johnny Mayorcorn, you know, possibly some sort of pun on main, if not the mainstays, but we'll see on that one. But they're referred to as Team Geek Girl at the moment, and this print, I you know, in the past now. I haven't seen it yet, but Rob Nix's art is great, and I think he's look at it. You look at it now on geekgirlcomics.com. Look at that. It's amazing, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
I told you.
Definitely, yeah. I have to ask, can you give us an idea of Peter? Because, and what he looks like? Because I hear that, and I hear like super Kramer from Seinfeld or something. You know, he's got like the amazing Technicolor green coat on and taking off or something.
That's not a million miles off. But your sound went a little bit there. Was it Pete the Pimp you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like a, if you imagine the sort of old, like old school, like Huggy Bear, you know, blinged up, big hat, that kind of thing. But he's a ginger white man. Quite a comedic character. I haven't got anything to hand because that's actually, yeah, that's getting coloured at the moment. But yeah, he's going to be coming in. Basically, there's a thing that's going to be developing with Summer because Summer has filled in as Geek Girl, but she hasn't got the propensity for it that Ruby has. She filled in when Ruby ended up in hospital after being taking down Lightning Storm in the initial miniseries. In the recent arc, the issue 6-7, she gets to go in the costume again in fancy dress because Ruby wants a night off and to go incognito. So something is going to develop with Summer, which will facilitate Pete the Pimp coming into it, because Pete the Pimp also has superpowers, but they're quite, can we swear on this? I forget.
Yeah.
So Pete the Pimp has superpowers, but they're quite shit. So that's going to be fun. And so, yeah, so that's the introduction. That's another, first appearance thing. So in the exercise, Giga 5, that's his first appearance, and a nice introduction to the story based around him, but also featuring Delphi Matrix, who's also been in the Geek Girl series already.
I don't know what this is, but Peter Pimp has already been here to me, and I kind of want to put him up on my wall.
Go on the poster of, all right, okay. Hey, yeah. Each to their own. Let's not judge.
Each to their own. If you want a ginger pimp on your wall, then that's how you choose to live your life, then go for it.
Right. Would you wear those shades?
Me and Peter Pimp are going to be walking down the street and hanging out.
Yeah.
Literally, sound by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Now Peter Pimp has to be from California and he moved to Maine or something. So, oh, man.
You're addicted. You're addicted to Maine.
Yeah. So, Pete is not Maine based.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not mainstream.
He's certainly not mainstream, though. No.
I'm going to stop with these now because they're killing me.
You have anything else you'd like to ask, Johnny?
I'm just amazed in a good way, because when I first saw Geek Girl, it's quite, I'm not going to say it's simplistic, but it's quite an easy story to get into. Yeah, there's no massive complications. It is what it is. And it's done very, very well. You have not rested on your laurels at all on this, Sam. No. You have absolutely kind of taken the time to build up that relationship between the two girls. You haven't thrown a load of characters in straight away. You've taken your time building them in, you know, and the Johnny Carlisle character has been in for quite some time now. He's kind of like a bit of a Max Lord, if you want to use any sort of kind of comic book comparison. And I like the fact that you're world building, but it's done in a good way. Look, too many times I think comic books can go either they take too long to get to where they're going to go, or they get there too soon and you're left with like dead pages. You've got your pacing, you've got your introduction of your new characters, you've got it bang on. And it's stuff like the last issue, like issue 7, where they're just having a fun night out that makes the book readable. It's not always about superheroes fighting supervillains. Yeah. I mean, they're in there, but
yeah.
You know, I just like it for being the, the slice of life that it tries to be. There you go. There's a tagline for it. So I tip my hat, and I will say you are probably the biggest proponent and of Twitter and online PR, considering it's you. You know, you've absolutely cornered how to promote a book on Twitter. You know, so you've done a fantastic job with this. I'm glad it's she's still going. I think, you know, it's amazing in a good way. You know, it's reading it is a breath of fresh air every time. So there you go.
I have to echo that as well, because, you know, like, I jumped in on issue 6 and I jumped right in and enjoyed it right from the get-go. And then issue 7, like I said, was just a ton of fun. And it's fun. It was great for me to read a book where I could just get into it. I could go back and get more information if I needed, but I could just have fun reading something, you know. And there are some titles out there that if you don't know everything and what's going on, it could be a chore to get through the book, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, with the new Jump On, the deluxe version, that is like the best entry point there is. But everything else, the previous issues, previous trades are on the Kickstarter as well. So if you want to go back, then that's all good. But it's I'm really pleased with what we've got here in this new deluxe version. I think it's a nice package with the Team Detail print as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I just want to reiterate, I just think it's a fun book, you know. So for all you out there, if you're looking for something that's superhero fair, but it's just plain fun, you know, I don't know how else to say it. I think this is something you should definitely pick up and check out.
Yeah. It's not political. It's not, it's not in your face. It is just a straight up good, fun comic book about two characters and their friends that just tend to have fun. Oh, and also save the day every now and again.
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things with the super team, beginning in this arc of 5 starts the ball rolling on, is though these team are being brought together because of Johnny Carlisle's wife giving birth a bit early and her getting paranoid about him, he's got to put it on ice for the moment and spend time with her. So Geek Girl's reaction to this is great. Like, we've got this, we're in this deluxe HQ now, we're getting a massive paycheck and we don't even have to fight any crime yet. So let's get drunk, which is pretty much Ruby's answer to a lot of things.
Isn't that the last episode of Georgie Shaw?
I wouldn't know about that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, whatever. Everybody loves Georgie.
I know more than I need to know.
Fair point.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being here and talking Geek Girl with us today, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Johnny, for joining me on the interview. As always, you are a wealth of knowledge.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Maybe a pittance of knowledge, you know.
And I want to say
a wealth of main puns.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
I want to say to everybody out there, when this comes out, the Kickstarter will go live. Go check it out. Go check out geekgirl.com, correct?
Geekgirlcomics.com.
Yep. Geekgirlcomics.com. Down below, I know I am also subscribed on Facebook to Geek Girl, so check that out as well. And pick up your copy of Geek Girl. You will not be disappointed. All right. Excellent. We're out of here, everybody.
Adios.